Today on Real Radio.
Before Abraham ever went into the promised land, Abraham I'm talking about. Before Abraham went in there, those nations that God was talking to Moses about, those nations were already present in the promised land. And you need to listen to this and be reminded of this. In fact, if you get this right now in the next few moments, you'll be smarter than any news commentator on TV or in any magazine or in any publication regarding the Middle East conflict. Are you ready?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges. We're in a presentation that's taken from chapter 8. We've already learned of the fascinating account of how Gideon's army of just 300 men defeated the Midianites, an enemy superior in number. Now what happens? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called How to Win a War and Keep the Victory.
If you get this right now in the next few moments, you'll be smarter than any news commentator on TV or in any magazine or in any publication regarding the Middle East conflict. Are you ready? I'm serious. I'm not joking. Are you ready? You're not ready. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Listen. Genesis 12, beginning at verse 5. Then Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions and they had gathered together, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. They had never been there before. So they came to the land of Canaan, and Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the Timnath tree of Morah, and the Canaanites were there in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give you this land." Watch this. Just like your flesh, my flesh. Abraham shows up for the first time in the promised land. We call that land today Israel, a land flowing with milk and honey. Were there people there first? The answer is yes, there were people there first. There were tribal states there first. They were pagan worshiping tribes. They were there first. Yasser Arafat argued, our people were here first. And everybody got in a big fight about that. He was correct. His people were there first. They went by a different title, went by a different name, but they were there first. You say, oh, Jack, doesn't that mean then Arafat and the Palestinians, which technically is no such people group, in all honesty, there is no Palestinian nation or state, the Arab people, they were there first. Shouldn't they have the land? If there is no God in heaven above and no Bible, then yes, they should have the land. Absolutely. Why? Because they were there first. First come, first serve. We're big on that in America. We're big on that. It's true. And you say, oh, I can't believe you're saying this. Don't you believe in Israel's right to the land? Of course I do. But listen, the flesh comes first. Always. Just like when you and I were born. We were born into this world, and the flesh comes first, doesn't it? Our skin came into this world first. We were lost. We were pagan. We were without the Lord. We didn't have any promise. We didn't have any hope. Jesus said we must be born, what?
Again.
Again, a second time. We were born once in the flesh. We need to be born of the Spirit, and that's done by inheriting God's promises and entering into the new life. You got it? It's all based upon the promises of God. But if you do not believe in the God of the Bible, and you make up some new God, some replacement God, then you don't have to deal with the promises of the God of the Bible, who said to Abraham, I will give you this land and drive all the skin, the flesh, what comes first out of the land, and I will give you this land. Now, you might today say, I don't like that. I think it should go to the people who are there first. Then listen, you don't understand redemption. Because what's there first doesn't mean it's necessarily right. God says, no, listen, we're talking about God here, who made it all. He could say to the human existence and start all over. He could blow all of us to Jupiter right now. God says, no, even though the flesh was there first by some other people, I've made this a promise to Abraham. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to do it because it is a picture of the new life in God. You get that? People will say, what is the answer to the Middle East crisis, the Middle East conflict? The answer is only found in the God, in the Bible by the God of the Bible, because it's his land and he has issued and declared what's going to happen there. It's very, very, very important. You understand that? CNN doesn't understand it. Fox News doesn't get it. BBC doesn't get it. And even if we were to say it on the news, they still wouldn't get it because it's spiritually understood. Others were there first. God said, when you come in by promise, I'm going to move them out and you'll establish a new life with me. He's the God of promise. And you need to get that into your thinking, because that's what God has said. That's what he does. And it's so true about your life and mine. The flesh has to be done away, and we must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. We must be made anew to know our God. And so, listen to what happens as we look to Gideon's life, keeping the victory. Beginning at verse 1 here, we see the first point, stay in the Spirit. God does it. God brings the victory. Stay in that place. The same Holy Spirit that won the battle for Gideon desires to keep the victory. And that's true for you and I. Look at verse 1. Now, the men of Ephraim said to him, who? Gideon. Listen to these guys. You got to love them. Why have you done this to us by not calling us when you went to fight with the Midianites? And they reprimanded Gideon sharply. So he said to them, what have I done now in comparison with you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God has delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb, and Zeb. And what was I able to do in comparison with you? Then the anger toward him subsided when he said that. What is going on? They come right out of the victory. Chapter 8 begins, and the tribe of Ephraim, they come and they say, why didn't you call us? Listen, the announcement went out to everybody. Ephraim now, after the victory is over, after all the work's been done, after God's done his great thing, Ephraim shows up and they want to complain about it. And instead of Gideon cracking a pot and bringing out a torch and blowing the trumpet and slapping them around, Gideon does an amazing thing of diplomacy with this disgruntled tribe of Israel. And he says something that is very, very diplomatic. Look what he says. He says, what have I done in comparison to you? He's saying this, listen, you guys are all upset with me. Everybody was invited to the war. A bunch of cowards went home. You guys remember that? You guys turned tail and left, but that's okay. That was God's will. He said, if you wanted to go, you can go. But listen, and he said, what am I? I'm just a little Gideon, and you're the tribe of Ephraim. You guys, aren't you guys like super blessed? Everything that you guys do just is really great. You're just wonderful. Listen, he does an act of diplomacy against these disgruntled complainers. And he says it in such a way that look what it says at the end. It says at the end of verse 3 that their anger subsided from them when he had said that. You know what? The whole structure of this is that they began to pout. They saw the victory. Oh, look. Whoa, the trumpets, the pots. Cool. Hey, look at all the booty. Look at all the loot coming in. Look at all the stuff they're getting. They come up to Gideon and they're going to complain about it. Hey, how come you didn't give us a call? We want to be in on this. And they are trying to steal the moment. Gideon, in a wonderful act of being spirit-led, says, hey, come on, you guys, don't you guys grow incredible grapes where you come from? Yes. Great wine, great jelly, great Welch's, great. You guys are great. And they go, really? We're great? All right. And when he says that, they just kind of go, It's almost like he changes them, puts on a clean diaper, puts them in a corner, gives them a bottle, and they're all happy again. They're pouting, and instead of him slapping them around, he's very nice to them. Proverbs 15:1, that's what Gideon did. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger or strife. Gideon used a soft answer to turn away these spoiled brats. He compliments them, and they go back home, and they're fine. Their anger was subsided, and so now they're okay. Listen, we need to mark these guys. There will always be Ephraim types in our lives. Whenever God is doing something, church, there will always be an Ephraim in your world. And when you're involved in spiritual work and church work, there'll be more than one Ephraim, but they're all called Ephraims in my book. They're petty. They're jealous. These guys were petty. They were jealous. They were envious. They were critical. Hey, we see God moving. We see God doing this stuff, and we want to hook our wagon to what's going on. This happens all the time. We get phone calls. We get things in the mail. And it happens to every ministry where God is working. There'll be someone that will come along and they'll say, listen, you guys are doing really, really good, but here's how you can do better. And if you just hire me or hire our group, and we're going to make it all better. Hey, where were you? You know, when this thing was getting started. Well, here's the answer to that. Well, you didn't have the money to pay us the big amount that we're asking for back then, so we laid low. They take advantage. They're the Ephraim type, and they're always around. They're on our team, maybe, possibly. They're on Jesus' side, but you'd never guess that by the words that they use. The Bible says in Romans 16:17, now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Ephraim, this tribe, is being a real stick in the mud, but thank God Gideon's handled it right. They're always self-promoting. They want it their way or no way. That's the Ephraimites. By the way, difficulty will always bring out the real you and I. You know, I hate to say that because I don't like the real me that I see. But don't you want to believe that you've progressed a little further along in the Lord than what sometimes situations bring out in our lives? I just want to believe that when somebody, you know, spits in my face, that I just kind of float about a foot off the ground, and there's sounds of angels, and there's this almost like an aura around me, and I just wipe the spit from my face and just say, you know, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's what I want to do. That's what I should do. It's not what I do, but it's what I want to do. But I don't always do what I want to do. But listen, when you and I hit hard times, and when somebody comes up as these guys, I mean, these guys come up and they speak to him rudely. Don't they have any respect for what this guy did? This guy was nothing but a farmer, and now he's a general. And they mock him. Armchair quarterbacking. You know what? It's I think it's easier to fight the Midianites than to fight the Ephraimites. Because the Midianites, you can just kill them. The Ephraimites, they're on your team, and they're nipping at your ankles while you're trying to fight the enemy. It's like, man, will you go home? You know? And the moment you pray and seek the Lord, and God says, rise up, O man of valor, O woman of valor, go for it. The Ephraimites will be there. You're not going to make it. What are you, crazy? There's always that going on. But when God speaks to you, when you hear the word of God, when God is leading you, you don't need their words. Listen, you don't need their words, but you'll have to contend with them, Christian. You'll have to contend with them. You'll have to put up with it. Look at verses 4 to 14. Keeping the victory, we need to stay focused. Gideon is going to stay focused. We need to stay focused. Stay in the spirit. Yes, stay focused. Look at verse 8. When Gideon came to the Jordan, he and the 300 men. Oh, will you mark that? 300 men. Not one of them were killed. Not one was lost. Who were with him, they crossed over exhausted but still in pursuit. Christian, listen, this is your life and mine. Crossing over, that's what we're doing. I don't know if you know that or not. I know you're sitting down right now, but we are crossing over. We're in the process of crossing over. We're on our way to heaven. I mean, we're already, our names are written down. We're going there, but we haven't crossed over yet. But we're crossing over. I almost want to say that like a good old down south black preacher. You know? Those guys know how to say what I'm trying to say here in my whiteness. I'm such handicapped. Crossing over? There's a day when we're going to cross over Jordan. There's going to be that day. Right now we're struggling, we're fighting, we're resisting temptation, and we're growing in the Lord, but there's coming a day, look what he says, that they'll be crossing over. They crossed over in this picture of the Jordan River for them. They were exhausted, but still in pursuit. Christian, I love that. They were exhausted, so they gave up. No, they were exhausted, and they still kept in the pursuit. That's us. We can't give up. You cannot quit now. You've come too far to stop. There's nothing to turn back to. And the days are going to get dangerous. They're going to get evil. You are a target. If you're a Christian tonight, you're a marked man, a marked woman. There is a cult out there that's sharpening their sword to kill you. And they're coming. Don't quit now. There's nowhere else to go. We join with Peter and say, to who shall we turn, Lord? Where do we go? Thou alone have the words of eternal life. Amen. It's an awesome time to be alive right now as Christians. Yes, the days and the storm clouds are forming. But you know what? Every bit along the way, it's yet one more incredible exclamation point about the validity of our Bibles. Jesus said there'd be days like this. We may get exhausted, but we're still in pursuit. I don't think I can continue. What are you going to do? You've got to continue. Like never before, Christians, we need to fellowship, worship, come together, get Christian friends, single out Christian friends, find them. Men find men, women to women. Listen, older women and older men scooping up, taking your incredibly blessed God-given authority as an older believer and saying, young man, meet me at my house, get some friends, we're going to pray. Older people, we need you. Wait a minute, what am I talking about? All you younger people, we want to lead you and guide you and pray with you. We need this like never before. We're going to need it more and more. Crossing over, that's what we're in the process of doing. We're exhausted, but you know what? We're still in pursuit. We're not going to give up. 2 Thessalonians 3:13 says, but as for you, brethren, do not grow weary at well-doing. Don't. Why does the Bible say that? Because we grow weary at well-doing. By the way, make sure your motive for doing what you do is unto Jesus. Because if you're doing it for somebody to notice, believe me, you'll get pooped out faster than any other way doing it like that. It's just a waste of time. Do it for the Lord. He'll give you the strength. And listen, you'll make it all the way through. If you're doing it for people, you're going to get your feelings hurt. You're going to get all goofy. Don't do that. Romans 2:6 says, who will render to each one according to his deeds? The Lord will. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. That's awesome. You know what's very cool? Just the fact that this August, August 19th, this church will be 17 years old this August 19th. 17 years. And I wrote some things down about that. We started on a Sunday morning in five different houses on August 19th. And those houses, by the way, are still, they may be exhausted, I don't know, but they're still in pursuit. And they're all here except for those that moved to Germany. They're still in pursuit. Isn't that awesome? See, you think I'm joking when I say, yeah, you can give God a hand for that. I think it's amazing testimony to his faithfulness. You think I kid you when I say, get involved, get committed, serve, you'll grow. And you're going, I know that trick. I'm not kidding. You want to grow? Get involved. Look at that 17 years later. We're still friends. We're still serving. We're all still here together from the very opening day. That's amazing to me. Absolutely spectacular. Get involved. And I promise you, the Holy Spirit will make sure that you're crossing over. You may be exalted. You may be exhausted, but you'll still be in pursuit. He's so good. Verse 5, then Gideon said to the men of Succoth, please give loaves of bread to the people who are following me, for they are exhausted, and I am pursuing Zibah and Zalmunna, kings of Midian. And the leaders of Succoth said, are the hands of Zibah and Zalmunna now in your hand that we should give bread to your army? You know what they're saying? You're going to go after those guys and get them? Uh-huh. The guys with 10 bazillion camels and a huge war machine? Yeah, we're going to go get them. But my guys are tired. Will you give them some bread? And they chose to say, forget you. We're not going to help you, because if the big guys win, we're not going to be an enemy to the big guys, so we're not going to help you. You can forget help from us, Gideon. There's only 300 of you. There's a bazillion of those guys with armored camels. Are you crazy? It's obviously who's going to win this thing. We're not going to help you. You're going to lose. That's what they're saying. Go find your own bread. That's amazing, isn't it? Stay focused, Gideon. Stay focused. So Gideon, verse 7, said, for this reason, you got to love this guy. When the Lord has delivered Zibah and Zalmunna into my hand, then I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars. I like this guy's diplomacy now. It's amazing. I am going to spank you with a rose bush. That's what he's saying. When I come back through here, you know, for those of us who live here in Southern California, can you imagine getting spanked with a bougainvillea? Oh, I'm going to drag bougainvillea branches across you. I am going to spank. He's not going to kill them. He's going to spank them with these rose bushes and bougainvilleas. That's got to hurt. The men of Succoth were fellow Jews, and they blew Gideon off.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called How to Win a War and Keep the Victory. It's a presentation taken from the book of Judges, chapter 8. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Currently, Pastor Jack is also teaching a series called Life and the Bible. It's taken from many parts of Scripture that contain practical wisdom on how to live and deal with the issues we experience in everyday life. So far, we've offered some of the DVDs in this series, Being a Christian in Your Relationships, Being a Christian at Your Job, and so forth. Well, now we're offering Being a Christian in Your Home. And for a gift of any amount, in support of Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's message on DVD called Being a Christian in Your Home. It's part of the series called Life and the Bible. Whether you call, click, or write, be sure and mention it by title, Being a Christian in Your Home. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, you can send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 917-09. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 917-09. And you can always visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.